Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. I'm going to preach a message tonight about the devil, and certainly that song was a blessing because the reality is we need Jesus Christ every hour, and it's because of the attack of the devil. I just believe the devil's having his will and way with so many people. See the move of the work of the devil in the world in which we live, or see him affecting believers in Christ. So we need to take some time and be aware of, study our arch enemy of our faith, and it's the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Christ through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one towards another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. God, how we need your protection tonight, how we need the Spirit of God to be our teacher and guide as we approach this very serious topic tonight, evaluating and assessing the enemy that fights against us and our faith that we have in Christ. I pray, Lord, that we might be able to gain knowledge, that we might understand how to fight against our enemy. And Lord, that we might be able to see the power of God moving through us to continually give us victory. We need grace tonight, Lord. We need your mercy. We need your forgiveness. Lord, how we desperately need your power. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, even as we're as Christians studying together, and there might be somebody here that is not a Christian. They've never been saved. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bind the hands of Satan, that he would not confuse their mind and hinder them from coming to faith in Christ. But I pray that they might be gloriously born again, saved through the blood of the Lamb that was shed before the foundation of this world. So bless the preaching of the Word of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 27. Paul says, neither give place to the devil. It's amazing as you do surveys or study surveys and evaluate what people believe and what trends are in society. It's amazing to see how many people literally do deny the existence of a real personal devil. What is shocking about that is certainly the world will admit, many people admit that there's evil and evil influences in the world, but they will not acknowledge the personality of the devil. What's more shocking is how many people will claim to be a born-again Christian and yet still deny the reality of a real personal devil who is fighting against us. However, the Bible is very clear in reference to this matter of the enemy of our soul and the enemy of our faith. And the Bible calls him the devil and a whole lot of other names, which we're going to look at in a few moments. But in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And so there is a real person that was cast out of heaven because of the fact that he exalted himself against everything that is of God. In his pride, he desired to be worshiped and lauded as God was worshiped and lauded in heaven. And because of his pride and rebellion against a holy God, he was cast out. And literally, he is roaming to and fro on this whole earth, Job chapter 1 tells us, finding and seeking out those that he can destroy. The Apostle Peter likens him to a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may be able to devour. And so we, in a real way, have a devil that is fighting against us in everything that is holy and that is righteous. We are not enemies of each other. We have one enemy, and that is the devil. And he'll use many people in many different ways to work his will and way to cause division and dissension and all kinds of dissatisfaction and dislikes within the body of Christ. He'll do whatever he can to hinder people from coming to faith in Christ. And he is a real adversary against the believer. The Apostle Paul in chapter 4 of Ephesians, where we read, outlines for us the differences between living in the old man and living in the new man. And it's very clear that he tells us that if we are living in light of the blindness of this world and walking in the vanity of our minds, we have not so learned Christ. That is a great phrase for you to study in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. And he is making that statement in reference to the fact that they were struggling with this matter of living in light of the new nature and the new life that they had received through faith in Jesus Christ. And they were consumed with all kinds of lusts and lasciviousness and satisfying every desire and every whim, as you will, if you will, of the desires of the flesh. And the conclusion is, ye have not so learned Christ. But then he also goes on, as you go through the chapter, and deals with how to these conflicts that develop between believers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. He talks about being kind one towards another. And so in the middle, right smack in the middle of dealing with putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and dealing with these conflicts that are contrary to the will and the way of God, in light of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit in you, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but have a proper relationship with each other. Right in the middle of that, he says, neither give place to the devil. Now, that means this is coupled together. The devil is getting victory when he causes conflict in the believer's life. The devil is getting victory when he entices the believer not to walk in the holiness of the God who saved them. And so Paul really is focusing on this fact that you need to strive not to give Satan even an opportunity to get into your life. Don't give him place. And that's why it's so important for us to be very careful where we go, what we listen to, what we watch, what conversations we have, because the devil is always there, always pressing, and always striving to get into your life somewhere. Amen. And if you want to give him room to get in, I'll guarantee you he'll get in. And so we need to address the conflicts that are created because of the work of the devil. So let's look at this. There's 3 points tonight with 65,000 subpoints, but that's all right. I want to look at the topic of the devil. We're not completely identifying everything that's said about him. We'll be here for 6 weeks. But just a summary about the devil. First of all, I want you to know that his name, his names that he receives, reveal to us his character traits. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And so Revelation identifies the old serpent called the devil and Satan being cast out into this earth. And so his names that are given to him are very significant because it reveals his character traits. So let's look at these. If you keep your fingers wet, you'll be able to keep up with me. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 13, we see the name of Belial. And oftentimes when you're reading through the scriptures, you'll come across this name Belial. And the name Belial, I don't remember, did I put the definitions on the slides? I just put the name, all right. The name Belial literally means worthless. It means good for nothing. It carries with the idea of being a base fellow. So in other words, he has no value. He has strength, he has power, he has influence, but he has no value. He's not worth anything. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, we see how this word Belial is used. It says in verse 13 of Deuteronomy 13, "Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known." And that's how Satan works. By the character trait of Belial being worthless or good for nothing, it is because of the fact that he comes along and entices you to depart from your God, depart from your faith, leave your church, turn away from the things that you have held on to. That's why we sang that song tonight, "We Stand." No matter what goes on, we do not compromise what we believe and how we practice and how we live our Christian life. There is an enemy that is fighting against us that is absolutely worthless because his whole intention is to get you away from God. And I want you to know tonight, when someone comes along and starts enticing you and say, "Oh, what you believe is not really real, and you need to go somewhere else and worship, and you need to experience other things in life, and boy, you just need," I hear parents say this all the time, "Well, my kids just need to experience the world." You are being enticed by Belial. Because Belial gives you direction that has no value or worth. And let me tell you, this world has nothing of value for you. And so he's enticing you to move away from your God. Realize that. Here comes Belial when he's trying to pull you away. Well, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 18 and 19, Jesus uses a name for Satan and the devil by the name of Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub means the prince of evil spirits. I probably should have put the definitions up there for you, but I figure you can write fast. Beelzebub means the prince of evil spirits. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 19, in verse 18, it says, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand?" Now, this is a very important principle that Jesus is presenting to us, that no nation or no people can stand if they're divided against each other. Why do you think there's such a strong move, and I haven't seen this since the early 60s and the 70s, in a country, such a strong move to divide us as a nation and a people? Because no nation can stand if it's divided. And why do you think the devil works so hard to try to divide the church? Because the church can't stand if it's divided against itself. And so Beelzebub, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. They're accusing Christ of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the one who is the prince of evil spirits. And Jesus is saying this, how can I cast out evil spirits by the prince of evil spirits? Then in verse 19 it says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Well, that's pretty good. Amen. If we were to confront people like Jesus confronted the people, I'll tell you one thing. People are always offended as it is anyway. You want to really offend them, start approaching them the way Jesus approached them. But he says, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall ye be your judges. And so he is confronting them with this name of Beelzebub, because Beelzebub, he is the prince of the evil spirits. So the devil is the prince of the evil spirits. And be assured of this tonight, that the one who is worthless and has no value, who is always trying to cause all kinds of hurt and dissension and drawing you away from your faith in Christ, is the one who literally is leading the demons of hell. And so the Belial, he's called Beelzebub. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, he is called Satan. And in chapter 5 of Acts in verse 3, he is called Satan. Satan means adversary, or one who stands against, or one who withstands us. And so in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? See, Satan is the one who stands against us. You know, when Jesus was sharing with Peter the fact that he would deny him, and literally dealing with Peter in reference to the fact that he was going to go to the cross and die for our sins of mankind, when Peter confronted him and said, let it not be so, Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did he call him Satan? Because at that moment, Peter was withstanding Jesus Christ. He was opposing what it was that Christ was going to take place. And so literally, Peter is confronting Ananias about his lying about what he sold the property for. And he said, Satan, the adversary, the one who withstands you, why have you allowed him to fill your heart with a lie to hold you back from accomplishing what it is that God would desire to do from you? So understand tonight that when we deal about the character trait of the devil, is he is worthless, he has no value, he is the prince or the ruler or leader of evil spirits, and he is the one who literally stands against the believers to try to hinder them from fulfilling the will of God in their life. Well, when you get in Revelation chapter 9, in verse 11, we see that he is called Apollyon. Apollyon. Apollyon means destroyer. In Revelation chapter 9, in verse 11, it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And both of those names means the one who is the destroyer. And I want you to know that the names of Satan, or names of the devil, shows us the worthlessness of the power and the influence to fight against the believer. And when he's done with you, he destroys everything that you are and have. What a shame, what a shame in seeing people's lives completely destroyed once the devil gets done with them. I have watched kids grow up in this church. I've been here for almost 21 years now. I have watched kids grow up in this church, and oh, the devil comes along, and he stands against their faith, and he entices them to go out into the world because the world supposedly has something to offer them, and it's better to go out there and be in some whacked out church or be out there doing whatever freelance Christian faith they supposedly have, or go out and enjoy all that the world has to offer. And I'm going to tell you something. I've watched their lives come to nothing.
I watched them fall apart. I watched them destroy their lives with drugs. I've watched them destroy their lives with booze. I watched them literally defile themselves and to destroy their opportunities to do something for God. Why? Because the devil has grabbed a hold of them and drawn them away. And I want you to know tonight that the devil wants you. He wants you because he wants to destroy your life. And young people, I'm going to tell you right now, if the devil can grab your thoughts and grab your attention and draw you away from God, it may sound good what he offers, but when it's done, there's nothing left. He destroys everything he touches. So his names reveal his character. Just a few names that we have in the Bible. His position promotes his work. And he has a work that he is doing in this world. And I'll tell you, he's good at what he does. In 2 Corinthians, we know this verse. Many of us have read it or memorized it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here is the work that he does. His position promotes his work. He is the God of this world. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." We worship the God of heaven. We worship the God who gives us eternal life. We worship the God who does a work in us and moves us in a path of righteousness and holiness. But there is a devil in this world that is the God of this world. And I'm going to tell you right now, the God of the United States of America is the devil. The gods of the nations of this world is the devil. And you say, how can you say that? You look at the work that is going on in our nation. You look at the work that is being accomplished in the nations around the world. Let me tell you, there is a God that is the God of this world, and it's the devil. And you have to be able to identify him and understand the work that he promotes. And so he's the God of this world. Here is how he works. Look at Matthew. I set these up so you can kind of work along. There are six things. Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see how he starts off and how he works. First of all, he perverts scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. Well, we'll read verse 5, I guess. "Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He perverts scripture. He is talking to the Son of God, the living Word of God. He is literally talking to the author of the Word of God. And he is twisting and perverting the scriptures to accommodate what it is that he wants to accomplish. He wants Christ to follow the temptation to take the Word of God beyond what God had promised and then demonstrating that he's going to trust the God of this world. And that's what the devil does. He always perverts scripture. He always comes wrong. When he confronted Eve, he said, "Yea, hath God said." And that's what he does. He always perverts the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody, I don't care who they are, when somebody, if anybody tells me, "Yeah, well, that Bible's got errors in it," right there, I mark them, I look at them, and I say, "Wait a minute, I got to watch out for this fellow." Because he is already taking on the character trait of the work of Satan, because he works to pervert the Word of God. When anybody takes and casts doubt on the Bible, they are somebody that I flag as somebody I got to watch out for. Because that's how the devil comes. But we'll allow somebody to come along and compromise the Word of God and speak out against the things that are in the Word of God, and we'll entertain conversation with them, and then we wonder why we get all messed up. He perverts Scripture. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. He hinders the gospel. And I know that it is difficult to win people to Christ. I understand that it is not getting any easier. But I know this, the harder that the devil fights, the more diligent the Christian needs to be able to bring people to Christ. We have an enemy who is the devil who is hindering the gospel. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 19, it says, "And one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now the wicked one comes along and hinders the work of the gospel. It's always amazing to me, if you try to lead somebody to the Lord, there's an open door, or you lead them to Christ, it's amazing that week the Jehovah's Witnesses will show up. It is amazing that week the Mormons will show up. Whenever you lead someone to Christ, or you're trying to lead someone to Christ, I'll tell you what, Satan, the wicked one, will bring someone over to hinder the seed of the gospel from germinating in the heart of that individual. Or he'll send over some family member. "Oh, you don't want to listen to that preacher over there." And my mom was telling me that my brother was on an airplane flying back from Florida. And on his way back from Florida, he was talking to the guy sitting next to him. And come find out, the guy that was sitting next to him came to this church once or twice. I hope you're not here tonight. Amen. But he said this. He said, "Oh," and my brother said, "Oh, well, Mike Wagle in Tom's River." "Yeah, my brother's up there. That's Mike Wagle." And he said, "That's that crazy Marine." I said, "Hey, man, let thy testimony ride with you. Amen." It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. All I do is stand over and preach the gospel. You want to call me a crazy Marine? That's okay. I am a little crazy. It helps once in a while. Amen? You got to deal with the things I got to deal with. You better be a little bit insane once in a while. But the devil will bring somebody along like that to cause you to disbelieve what the gospel is. And I'll tell you, that's the work of Satan. Somebody comes along and starts telling you you shouldn't be saved, and someone's told you how to be saved, or someone comes along and starts telling you, well, you shouldn't be out door-to-door soul winning, or someone comes along and tells you you need to stop being so aggressive and sharing your faith. Let me tell you something, they're mouthing the words of the devil. They're the voice of the God of this world, because that's what he does. He hinders the gospel. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, John chapter 8 and verse 44, we see another work or position that he promotes, and that is he's a liar. He is a father of lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I'm just being completely transparent and dead honest with you tonight. There is a lot of gossip that is going on in this church and a lot of lying, and I'm telling you, you are involved with it. You are the voice of Satan. And if you want this church to exist, you want people to be saved, you want revival in the church, I'm telling you, dead level right now. You act and live in accordance with the father of lies, and God's not going to bless the church. Well, that means some people need to get right with God, then get right with God. If it means people need to leave the church, then get out of the church. You want to live according to the father of lies? Then go ahead. But you're not going to do it here. I understand the enemy. But people don't want to acknowledge the enemy. And you allow him to suck you in to these conversations that are ungodly. And it needs to be identified, it is nothing more than the work of the devil. Amen. Not only is the father of lies, but in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He appears as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He knows how to put on a good show. He knows how to act righteous. You know, over the years, it's been interesting to me. I remember a guy came in here years ago from another country. And he came in here and he started talking all this big talk. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm being here. Man, I'll tell you what, God's really doing a work here. Man, I mean, all he did was flatter. And I thought to myself right there. I said, okay, red flag right there. There's a problem. And the next thing you know, there were some problems. I had to deal with him. I had to tell him, don't come back here no more. I'm going to tell you, the devil knows how to present himself as an angel of light. And he knows how to paint a picture and entice you to follow along and go down a path that leads to the way of destruction. Because he looks, this is all spiritual, and this is all worship of God, and this is all this. And it's all, he knows the terms to Christianity better than you do. You better watch out. You better watch out. He appears as an angel of light. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. He opposes God's work. Not only does he fight against the gospel, not only does he fight against the unbeliever, not only does he withstand the believer, but he fights against the work of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. It's amazing how many times Satan stops the work of God from moving ahead, how he opposes, and here's Paul desiring to come to them, and the apostle Paul. And he said, Satan stopped him, Satan opposed him, Satan hindered him from coming to minister unto them. If Satan is that bold to oppose the Apostle Paul, I know right away, I understand tonight, he is not afraid to oppose Mike Weigel, I can tell you that. And he's not intimidated by you. And he's not intimidated by the Ocean County Baptist Church. And so he'll oppose whatever we try to do. I always know God wants to do something when the devil is fighting. And what's going on right now with the devil opposing things, I'm telling you right now, God's doing something and wants to do something in this church. But we have an enemy that's fighting against us. His position promotes his work. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, he works lying wonders. Lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So you need to be careful and watch out for all this stuff that goes on the radio and on the television and all these supposed revival meetings that have all these whacked out type of workings of wonders and signs and lying wonders. You better watch out for it because that is generated by Satan. That's why John tells us we're not to believe every spirit, but we're to try the spirits whether they believe they are of God or not. But you know, present day Christianity, we just accept everything. Oh, it was on the internet. Good night. That puts a flag up for me right away. Well, Dr. So-and-so, Church so-and-so, I mean, they're doing all this stuff. I mean, man, I'll tell you what, they got crowds coming out there. A crowd does not signify spirituality. Amen. God works, devil works through lying wonders. How do you think he's going to manipulate people in the tribulation period to take a mark upon them to be able to buy and sell and do everything? It's going to be through lying wonders. And I really believe with all my heart that it's signs of the closeness of the return of Christ because people are so gullible, they accept everything. Amen. So his work, his position promotes his work. He's the God of this world. But he's also the tempter of the brethren. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul tells us that he is the tempter of the brethren. And he is going to throw anything and everything that he possibly can do in front of you to tempt you to fall by the wayside. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." You know, years ago when I first got in ministry, I didn't understand that verse. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand that verse now. Because I know what it is to wonder if somebody's faith has been tempted to be destroyed and they've fallen by the wayside. And you wonder, has my labor been in vain? So many people I have led to the Lord, they don't darken the door of the church. So many people I've baptized and have discipled, they don't come out to church. They don't go to any church. My question is, all right, has my labor been in vain because the tempter has come and tempted you? If we live our life as a Christian ignorant of the reality of the work of the devil, that he is our tempter, he tries to draw us away from Christ, I guarantee you, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. Now, if he's willing to tempt Eve in Genesis chapter 3, I'm telling you right now, it's amazing to me. Here it is in the perfect setting in Genesis chapter 3. They have everything they need for life. They're enjoying the presence of God. But yet, in the middle of that, Satan comes to them. He comes to her. Now, if Satan was comfortable and, listen, guile enough to have confidence to know that he could enter into the perfect Garden of Eden and walk up to a person who was directly created by God, who was enjoying the manifestation of the presence of God every day, and come up and approach her and say, "Yea, hath God said." Do you think for 1 minute that he's intimidated to come to you through this wicked world that we're living in? He tempted Eve. He tempted David. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, he tempted David to do something God had commanded him not to do. So 1 Chronicles 21:1, it says, "Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." Now, wait a minute. God had said to Israel, be innumerable. God had said that you're not going to be able to number them. Matter of fact, God had warned, do not number Israel. But I'm going to tell you, David did that which God had commanded not to be done. Why? Because Satan stood against him. And the very things that God has told us directly that we are not to do, I'll guarantee you, when Satan stands against you, it's easy to stumble and fall and go along with it. Right. If you don't understand the tempter of the brethren. Right. And you put up, and we're going to see in a few moments, the shield of faith, and you stand against him. Job chapter 2 and verse 7, he stood against Job. "And so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Satan went after Job. Satan came after Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, we know Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? To be tempted of Satan. Now, folks, the thing is this. The position that the devil takes always promotes the work that he desires to do. And the work that he desires to do and is accomplishing is culminated in this concept that he is the God of this world and he is the tempter of the brethren. He doesn't have to tempt the world because he has them under his control and under his influence. But he can tempt the believer to turn their back on God, just like he did to Eve and David and the Job, and yea, he even came and tempted the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So you better be walking in the power of the Spirit of God, and you better be aware of your adversary. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. and we live in a shell, like we are ignorant of who this enemy is, it's very easy to be overcome. My heart is broken. My heart is broken because I see people falling by the wayside. I see people, and they're going down a path of destruction. And they don't even understand. They don't even realize. They're not even aware of the fact of how the devil is leading them. There's people that are in this church that used to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, and Wednesday night. You're lucky to get them here on Sunday morning. And I'm going to tell you, the reason why that is happening is because there is a tempter of the brethren. And I'm just being flat out, transparent, and honest with you tonight about what I see as a pastor going on among the brethren. And we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is real. And we have got to stand against him. And we need to be bonded together in prayer, believing God for great things so that we can defeat the wiles of the devil. So his names reveal his character. His position promotes his work. I like the third point. His power is limited. Amen. I like that. Oh, man, I'm telling you. First of all, we know that his power is limited because of the fact, even though he tempted Jesus, Jesus was the one who resisted the devil's temptations. And so the devil, his power is limited because he is resisted by Christ. And this Savior who defends us against the power of Satan has not stopped fighting for us. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 10, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." See, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the one who we believe and the one we trust and the one that we love and the one we walk with and the one that we worship, is the one who is resisting the temptation of the devil in each of our lives. And we need to live in light of the power of Jesus Christ to resist the devil. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 23, we see that the devil is cast out by Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart that even today he can cast demons and the devil out of those who are possessed. And I'm telling you, there's people who are possessed of Satan. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, isn't it interesting that the demons of hell know who Jesus Christ is? "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." I want you to know tonight that Satan's power is limited because Christ resists his power. Christ cast the demons out. Satan cannot possess a believer in Christ. He may oppress us, but I'm going to tell you, the power of Christ resists him and drives him away from us. So he's resisted by Christ. He's cast out by Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he's defeated by Christ. Now listen, you can't fight against the devil and win. You have got to fight against the devil and the power of Jesus Christ. I remember my dad years ago after he got saved, and we were in Bible college, and he got pretty bold there, and Satan was fighting, and he said this. He said, "Yeah," he said, "I made the mistake once." He said, "I stood up, and I said, Bring it on, Satan." That's what he said. He said, "I told Satan, bring it on. I can fight against you and stand against you." He said, "I learned real quick. That ain't going to work, because Satan, come on, man." He took it on, and I mean, my dad went through it. And he realized real fast, you cannot fight Satan in your own strength and your own power. He is defeated by Christ and Christ alone. 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committeth sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so I'm thankful tonight that the power of Satan, the power of the devil, is limited because Christ resists him, casts him out, and he defeats his work. Well, because we are a believer and because Christ is in us, we can resist the work of the devil. He's resisted by the Christian. I don't run around looking for a fight with the devil. I've learned my lesson over the years. But I tell you one thing right now, I've learned that I can resist him. And when he comes against me, I know that I have a God in heaven who is with me, who will enable me to resist his temptations, resist his work in my life, resist this desire to be in the world and desire to fight against brothers and sisters in Christ. I know this, that the power of Christ that rests upon me, it enables me to resist what the devil wants to do in my life. How do we do that? We do it, first of all, by the shield of faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 16. It says, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, how we need the shield of faith tonight. We stand in the power of Christ. We believe in Christ and Christ alone. And it's my faith in Christ that must increase. It must be strong. Because when the devil comes, I can still hold up the shield of faith and say, I believe that my God's on the throne. And I believe there's power in the name of Jesus. And I can stand in faith and rebuke the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Christ. Get away from me. And I can resist him with a shield of faith. So we can resist him by the shield of faith. We can resist him by our submission to God. In James chapter 4. You know, it's always interesting when people get away from God or they leave church or whatever, you talk to them, and you look at the progression in their life. We find very quickly what happens is they stop praying. When they stop praying, they stop reading their Bible. When they stop reading their Bible, they stop attending church. When they stop attending church on a regular basis, then they start having all kinds of problems with all kinds of people and all kinds of situations. And then the next thing you know, the devil has them all wrapped up in themselves, and then they're gone. That's the way it goes every time. It's a good assessment and a good evaluation of where you are in reference to whether the devil can tempt you or not is based upon how strong is your prayer life, how dedicated is your devotional life, how faithful are you in the church in worship and service and living for God, and how and much in harmony are you with other believers? Because I'll guarantee you, any of those four things that are out of line, you are exposing yourself to the devil because you have not submitted yourself to God. James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't stand against the devil in your own strength. You have to submit yourself to God. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have a good devotional life, I'd be careful when you start standing up against the devil because you don't have much strength. If you're not walking in the power of the Spirit of God, I'd be careful how you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, because if you're not submitting yourself to God, it says that we need to submit ourselves to God, then we resist the devil, and then he flees away from us. So his power is limited. Because I can resist him with the shield of faith and with submission to God. But also by the position of believers. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. Says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. There is a position that believers have that is very unique because of the fact that we know who God is. It enables us to overcome the attack of the wicked one, a position of the believers. I am positioned in Christ. Because of the fact I am in Christ, there is a presence of that which is holy. that literally enables me to be strong enough to stand against the attack that comes against me. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not walking in faith, you're not submitting yourself to God, and you're not living in light of the position you have in Christ, you'll be steamrolled over by the devil. Your kids, if they have not learned how to walk with God, I'm going to tell you, when they get out of high school, they get out of Christian school, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's going to steamroll over them. You say, how you know that? Because I've watched it. That's how I know that. And I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody has a position that they rejoice in that, you're sick. It is devastating to the church. It's devastating to the testimony of God. It's devastating to a pastor and a pastor's wife to watch people get steamrolled over by Satan just because we won't take the simple, necessary steps to rest in the position of the power of God that is upon us. Well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, we know this verse in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in the world is the devil. He is the god of this world. He is the tempter of the brethren. But wait a minute, I have the Holy Spirit residing in me. And because the Holy Spirit is residing in me, I have power to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to stand against it if I just act like, well, there's no devil. You know, that's just, you know, we talk about that, but that's, you know, just a theology thing that preachers talk about. No, I'm going to tell you, you have a real enemy tonight. You have a real enemy who is making a stockpile of every opportunity and every resource that he can use to tempt you and make you fall by the wayside. But you don't have to be overcome by him. You can resist him in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's amazing to me that if we would really identify the enemy, then certainly we wouldn't be in trouble all the time as believers. You know, years ago when I first got saved, I was pretty arrogant. People think I'm arrogant now. You should have seen me 20, 30 years ago. And I realized this, that there was a lot of attacks that were coming from me upon good churches. I'm not talking about churches that don't preach the gospel. There was a lot of comments being said by me about different churches, and I realized this, wait a minute. They're my brethren. And I'm not doing any good. I'm just being an instrument in the hand of the devil to tear other people down. And I realized this, that we have to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to be the instrument, the weapon that the devil will use to destroy the church of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if he can get a hold of your life, he will do it. Why do you think so many people say, well, I'd get saved, but I knew of a Christian once, and boy, they were one of those holy rollers, and boy, look how they live now. And they say, well, I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to believe in something like that. It didn't do any good for them. You know what that person became? He became a weapon in the hand of the devil to hinder the gospel from being effective in that sinner's heart and life. I'm going to tell you, folks, we have a real adversary. And it's not each other. It's the devil. It's not God. It's not our enemy. He is not the one who wants the worst for us. He is the one who has designed the best for us. And he has enabled us in a real way to stand against the devil. That's why Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Don't be looking at some video game that has all kinds of immoral things on there. You know what you're doing? You are open the mind and the eye gate. You're opening the eye gate of your mind to allow corruption to come in, that the devil's going to use that later on in your life. Don't do that. Don't go to things, movies that are whacked out and all kinds of sexual scenes and everything else, because I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to ruin your life later. The world has painted a picture. The devil has set it up that young people need to be promiscuous. And because of that, we have developed a society where there is no commitment in marriage. Now, I could stand up here and go through all the statistics tonight of the devastating result of the attack of the devil on society, human society. But I think you know what they are. You just need to know who the enemy is. And you need to stand against the enemy. Because I'm going to tell you, he is real and he is fighting hard right now. Are you going to be a casualty of war? Because that's what it comes down to. Whenever there's war, there's always casualties. Are you going to walk in the strength of your commander, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to expose yourself to the enemy where you become a casualty? I'll tell you one thing right now. I don't want to let down one little bit. I don't want to let down one shield. If I got to walk around my Bible like this, man, if he's going to shoot at me, you know, I don't care what I got to do. I'm telling you what, this is a real war. And we are the soldiers of the cross. And we're in a battle for Christ. But the battle's not ours. It's his. So let him fight it for us. Amen. But don't turn your back on the enemy. Because as soon as you turn your back. Isn't it interesting in Ephesians chapter 6. Of all the garments of the soldier that are listed there. Are all frontal attacks. It has nothing to do with attack coming from the back. So God's not looking for somebody who's going to say, oh, there's the devil. As soon as you turn and run, boom, he's got you. No, you put on the whole armor of God and say, there's the devil, and I'm going to fight against with the sword of the word, amen. I'm going to put up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. I'm going to be shod with the gospel of priests. I'm going to tell you one thing, he's not going to win. Jesus Christ has already won. He's a loser. So identify the enemy. Look at the person next to you. He's not your enemy. She's not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Amen. So let's fight against him. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the victory that we have in Christ. How desperately we need a power to move of God upon us. Help us to stand against the attacks, Lord. Help us to be faithful and true. Help us to surrender our lives completely to the Lordship of Christ. And Lord, will you fight for us? Will you defeat the enemy? Will you give us victory? Will you give us souls to be saved? God, how desperately we need to win every day of our life. So strengthen us and bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.